Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Welcome once again to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. And I'm just here to check in on your vibe as I do every single week. How are you feeling? Remember, VIBE is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, and expectation. And if your vibration isn't doing great, then guess what you're attracting? Evidence of that. And if you're feeling good, then bring it on, okay? If you want to know how to change your vibe, just ask yourself, what do you want? And that will get you focusing on all those good feelings, because it's the feelings, it's the vibe, that's what the universal language is, and that's what you're going to pull in. So, welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. Now, the last show I did was on intentions. And that is the second part of the formula, as you know, vibe. And today I want to focus in on beliefs. Beliefs. Now, last year in November, I was in Jamaica. And I had a moment where I was sat in the lobby and I looked around and I could see everybody just walking and milling around me, and some laughing, some a little bit frustrated, people in their different moods. And as I looked at them, I thought to myself, these people are all so different. And I had a Matrix moment, you know, like in the movie when Neo realizes that he is the one and he sees all these lines of statistics, these figures, all, you know, vertically aligned against this green screen of the computer. And I had a moment similar to that where I looked at everyone, and in my case, all I could see was everybody, each person tagged with their own particular set of beliefs. So if you imagine everyone's carrying these bundle of balloons, yeah, that defines who they are, the bundle of beliefs carried around as balloons, as it were, that define who they are, that define how they show up. And that's what your beliefs do. You see, let's talk about beliefs today, because I really want you to get a grip. I really want you to get a grip on controlling to a certain extent, a major extent, on how you show up in your reality. So what are beliefs? Beliefs are nothing more than a thought that you have said yes to. I'll repeat it again. Beliefs are nothing more than a thought you have said yes to. They are like neither right, they are neither wrong, okay? And our beliefs become our thoughts. Our thoughts become our words. Our words become our habits. Our habits become our values. Our values become our destiny, our reality. So would it make sense to say that your beliefs create what you see? Your beliefs create the world you see. You see, when we were babies, young children, we came into this world as empty vessels, as it were. Okay, so imagine a glass cup and it's empty. And we accepted without question everything that we were told. Okay, we were conditioned. Judgments were made. You know, your father said this, your mother said this, they said don't touch this, do this, believe this, you were born into a religion. You know, your teachers, you know, as you grew older, you know, you have these authorities in your life, and your cup, your glass cup becomes full, okay? Becomes full. And that is actually your programming, okay? Even from what you see on the TV, that becomes your programming, and you try to make sense of all of that. And so you begin to interpret that information. So as babies, as young children, we accepted everything without question. However, as we grew older, we then began to exercise our right to say no to certain thoughts and yes to others. Okay? Therefore, forming our own beliefs. Does that make sense? Now, that becomes then our programming. So when we behave in certain ways, and when I was sitting in that lobby looking at people and how they were behaving, a lot of that behavior is due to their subconscious conditioning. You know, we're told that it's really important how you raise children between the ages of 1 to 7, because those programs, those beliefs that they embrace basically run them like a puppet. Yes, without them even being aware of it. So looking at those people in the lobby in that Jamaican hotel, a large part of how they show up is due to their subconscious judgments, their subconscious beliefs. So I'm sure you know that your belief system greatly impacts the quality of your relationships. Yeah, so you've got those judgments, you've got all of those learnings. It has an impact on the quality of your relationships, the type of people that you draw to you. In other words, if you believe, for example, in a relationship, as it were, a romantic relationship I'm talking about, because as you know, I'm a dating coach. If you believe that it's possible to have commitment, love, trust, and happiness in a relationship, then that is what you will attract, okay? Because your subconscious always wants to express itself, and so therefore you will call in evidence of that. Yeah, what you believe, your behavior will adapt, so your behavior will change so as to bring that into your life. Lisa Nichols describes it in a really great way. She calls it cognitive dissonance. So when you change your mental conversation, as it were, what happens, because your brain always wants to be right, it actually causes your behavior to change to match that new mental conversation. So if you believe that it's possible to have commitment, love, trust, and happiness, then that is what you'll attract. However, if you do not believe it's possible for you, then it's not. So simply put, you have to believe in something to make it a reality. Now, I'm remembering a movie called The Skeleton Key. I don't know if you've ever watched that movie. And the movie is about a woman that is being coerced and manipulated to ensure that she believes in voodoo. Why? Because she's being employed as a maid, as it were, as a carer for this woman's husband who's really ill. But I don't want to spoil the end of the movie, but essentially they want her to believe in voodoo so that they can put voodoo on her. And the movie shows how, because when she originally came and she wasn't in the state to believe in that, they couldn't touch her. You see, what you believe creates your reality. What you believe determines what you see. So let me just go. So just going back to relationship beliefs. If you fear that you're going to attract dishonest men or toxic relationships, etc., etc., guess what you're going to attract? Because your beliefs so strongly affect how you attract love. A crucial step that you need to address is your limiting beliefs, okay? You have to confront beliefs that are limiting you from being all that you can be in a relationship. And the reason why you have to address it is so as not to jeopardize any future ones. So how do we actually do this? Well, there is a technique that you can learn, which basically analyzes any limiting beliefs that you are given that don't give you the results that you want. And you can actually start to erase those beliefs that are sabotaging your love life and causing you to behave in a way that is contrary to what you want. So when you feel bad, it's because you lack integrity with yourself, okay? When you feel good, it's because you are in integrity with yourself. Your integrity is your alignment with your inner power that will guide you. So what I'm really saying here is that your feelings serve as a barometer. If you feel bad, it's because you are in a place where you are not attracting what you want. And so that feeling, if you acknowledge and hone in on what you're actually feeling, you think at any moment in the day, am I actually feeling good? And if you're not feeling good, that's why I say you need to switch it to how you want to feel, because you're actually out of alignment. Your feelings serve as a barometer to simply tell you if you are in line with what you are wanting. Okay? So how do we erase limiting beliefs? Those beliefs that stop you from achieving your abundance, because abundance is actually your default. So let's look at beliefs that support your intention, and let's look at also beliefs that do not support your intention. So those are only ever the two types of beliefs that you can have. So we want the beliefs that support your intention. The ones that do not, let's see how that we can destabilize that. So first of all, if you imagine a three-legged stool, and a three-legged stool is quite sturdy, but if you were to knock one of the legs, then the stool now becomes destabilized, okay? So to destabilize a belief, you have to let your brain accept a truth that shakes that belief at its core. So for example, you may say, I couldn't possibly attract a man until I lose weight. But then ask yourself, are there any large-sized women in relationships on this planet? Think of someone you know or someone who is in the media. Can you see how pondering on that thought will actually destabilize it if you actually come up with people that actually do meet that criteria? They are large and they are in a loving relationship. Another way of destabilizing a belief, in fact, actually eradicating it, not even destabilizing it, is asking your belief how true it is. Now, I learned this technique by the amazing Byron Katie in her book entitled Loving What Is. Now, I've read this book about 3 times. If you've not read it, rush out right now and get that book. It will hold you in good stead. And she has what I call the 4-question technique. And it's all about analyzing that belief. So is it true? So if you may have come across a situation and you've made a judgment on it. And so you ask yourself. So an example of a belief that you can challenge is by asking if it's true is you may say, John doesn't love me. Let's just use that as an example. So the first question to analyze it with is, number one, is it true? Number two, can you absolutely know that it's true? Can you absolutely know that it's true that Jonathan doesn't love you? And if there's even a possibility that John does love you, that is already destabilizing that belief, because it's what it's saying is that there is a possibility that John does love you. You see how that works? Now, this is an important step. Number three, how do you react when you think that thought? So when you believe that John doesn't love you, how do you treat John? Number one, are you loving towards him? How do you talk to him? Are you cold or are you warm? When you believe that John doesn't love you, do you allow John to touch you? Do you push John away? Do you introduce John to your friends? Like, do you go out often? Can you see all the negative behaviors that happen? It could even be, I try to hang on to John and I become very needy because I believe that John doesn't love me. You see? You may even begin to think, I think that John is cheating on me because he doesn't love me. Can you see the road that you take this on when you have a limiting belief? Okay, that could just as easily be false as it is true. So number 4 question then to attack that limiting belief is, well, if this is the way that you're feeling, okay, or this is the way that you're reacting when you think that thought, who would you be without it? So that is the number 4 question. Who would you be without that thought? Think about it. Well, if I believed that John does love me, then I'd be really happy when I'm around him. I'd introduce him to my friends and go out with him. I'd be really warm towards John. I wouldn't think or suspect that he might be cheating on me. I'd be definitely more open. Can you see how your behavior would have just flipped from negativity to positivity? And all based on a belief, a thought that you've said yes to, but and yet not necessarily had any proof whatsoever. So then the next question is, would you like to drop that thought? And if you choose to drop it, then obviously you're dropping all the negativity or the negative behavior that's associated around that thought. And now freeing you up to be the natural, by default, loving person that you are. You've just broke down a belief. So if you're listening to this right now, you can replace the word with Jennifer, or you can replace it with Jack. Okay? So when you actually turn it around, you can see that it is you who actually has the problem, not John. Can you see how powerful your beliefs are and the impact that it has on your behavior? And when you take the time to analyze it, is something true? Is that belief true? How you can totally switch your behavior around. When you work from the premise that in life there are actually no good or bad decisions, no right or wrong in that respect, that there are just consequences, and that consequence either takes you in the direction that you want or it takes you away from what you want. It is those consequences that helped you help to create the person that you are today. You know, and it took me a long time to arrive at that perspective above. And it happened when I was in my mid-30s. I had something, a vision that actually happened where I was, it completely changed my perception of how I view life. And in fact, I'm actually currently writing a book about it. I'm not sure what the title will be, but it will be out very soon, this side of the year. But holding that belief has really helped me to see that I would not be the person, you would not be the person that you are today if you had not had those experiences and those learnings. If I had not had my experiences and my learnings, whether I judged them good or bad at the time, I wouldn't be who I am today. Because those experiences determined what I believed in, and I could just as easily switch my belief around it if I chose to, which I did. So, as I said earlier, we each map the world as it were, according to our beliefs, and the decisions we make are tied into what we believe. And the beliefs come from our experience and conditioning in life, and we begin, like I said, beginning forming them at a very young age. You know, I'm always talking about self-esteem, and self-esteem is built within our belief system. It forms our belief map, and it's a fundamental part of us. And since we are, well, pattern-making beings, you know, we run on programs. Our beliefs are laid down as patterns of thought within our brain. And what I've learned is that if there are patterns of thought held in the brain, then I can change them. So I suppose that that is what's actually started me on this journey. Now, obviously, some of them are useful. But when I find that some of them are actually limiting me and I catch myself with a belief that is holding me back, I ask myself, is it true? Can I undo this? Like, what experience have I had that says that this is impossible for me? How do I know that I cannot do this? If I really want to do this, what new belief do I need to hold about myself or the world or others? Now, that is really important because now, whenever I come across an obstacle, the main belief, the main thing that I ask myself is, what is it that I need to believe in order to do this? What belief do I have that is actually stopping me from moving forward? And I'm telling you, more often than not, by the next morning, I've realized what that thing is. But you have to ask yourself first the question so that it can then be brought to your awareness so that you can now undo that limiting belief and replace it with a positive belief. Now think about this really carefully. One of the fundamental beliefs that we all hold is I am right. Think about it. I am right. It's an I am statement. I've spoken about the power of I am statements before, okay? Your I ams define you. So catch this. Whether you believe you can or you cannot, you are right. Let me say it again. One of your fundamental beliefs that we hold is I am right. So whether you believe you can or you cannot, you are right. So what beliefs do you hold presently about yourself in terms of what you can and cannot do? Because irrespective of what that is, you are right. When did you learn them? At what age? Who from? Write down the ones that are limiting you, the ones that are unhelpful, and look at them written down in plain paper and choose one to focus on and think about what triggers it. And think about what you might believe instead. Because when you change it, like I just showed you just now through the 4-question technique, you literally empower yourself. So begin learning to perceive this new belief as a lens through how you see the world. And take note of what you notice. I like to deal with beliefs. When I'm working with clients, a fundamental part of it is to do with changing their belief system, bringing to their awareness how they're behaving and the beliefs that they have that are supporting that type of behavior. If you know that you're in a pattern and you keep repeating the same pattern over and over and over again, it's simply because of that. Because you have got a belief, a program, a judgment, as it were, that you are running subconsciously, and the subconscious always wants to express itself. And of course, that now gives rise to the way that you show up. Okay, it gives rise to you creating your reality. You created that reality because your beliefs form the lens through which you see the world. Yes? So if you imagine put on a pair of shades that has pink lens, the world looks pink, doesn't it? Everything that you touch on through those lens looks pink. So if you were to take it off and say something like, you know what, I believe that I am beautiful. Then everything that you see will give rise to support that view that you have of yourself, that you are beautiful. I want you to try that. Actually, that is your homework for today. I want you to embrace an I am statement. Whatever it is, I am wonderful, I am beautiful.
The Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.